Get to smash that like button. Subscribe. We need some subbies. Come on. You can do it. Late night. Woo. Good vibes.
I got my bubbles on. That's what makes me the most happy. Other than you, then the bubbles make me the most happy.
Fair.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Tuesday, and you are... what? Yes, I did. I waved. Okay, sorry. I left this stuff up again, and this is what happens. Fireball Tim's here. What's up, Fireball Tim? Phyllis is here, everybody. Phyllis is here. I've got a story about Phyllis in a little bit. Skip Ploss, Grand Impression, David H.O. I'm Jared Tyler. Carissable. Hello, Carissable. Good vibes to you. Carissable was very funny in the pre-tape section of tonight's show, which occurred yesterday. We've got another half and half show for you. But in the meantime, thank you very much. Like Wally just went to sleep there for a second. Welcome back to America's favorite late night talk show, car show, whatever the hell this thing is, Talk Gear. It's Tuesday, May 25th, and my name is Jay Ryan. This is Late Night Playset. The lady to my right is Nicole Ryan. We're doing another half and half show. This portion is live. We are here with you live. It is 5:06 in the p.m. here on the West Coast. And we are here with you on Instagram, so we'll bring that up here as well, if I can be so. There we are. And so we've got you here. Hi, Not Neck. Hi, McGrono. One Vintage is laughing. Thank you, Dorian. Damn it. Rox Montreal is here. This is good stuff. Makes me happy. Jamie Tate is here. So Jamie Tate and Yu Zhong are a couple helping our algorithm by watching separately.
You guys are the best.
I mean, maybe one's at work. I don't know. Apex Dream Cars, first flat six. All right. James Cornish is here. My gosh, everybody's here. Anders, Mark, hello. Hello, Crucible. Ha, ha, ha. All right. Woo! It was a hell of a day getting to this point, I have to tell you.
Seems
All right. Now, J.J. Gates and Jamie Tate are different, although their pictures look similar. And oh, she spawns here. Hello, Kat. Catherine DeLorean. Catherine DeLorean Seymour. John DeLorean's daughter. And the other half of my heart that isn't hers. She's got one half and Catherine's got the other. I kept none for myself. PCH Driver's here. Sean Winograd. What's up, buddy? Reed's here. Hi, everybody. This is so cool. Okay. We're going to get on with it because we have got to get Matt in here. But before so, I've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. And I've got, you know what it is? I got to get some of this stuff off my plate. Part of it is this here for you. We're going to crack open a new sticky vape because it's Tradecraft Tuesday. I'm all confused. I thought it was Thursday all day today because we sort of did all this yesterday, you know. I'm opening up a new sticky vape from Tradecraft Farms, and this one is Skywalker. Skywalker. It's an indigo, but it's Skywalker. Here you go. Tradecraft Tuesday. Mrs. Ryan medicates on the air. May the 25th be with you. It's Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. So take on May the 4th.
It's a good heavy one.
He was enjoying that very much yesterday. He was. So does this one over here. I mean, so do I, quite frankly, too. But doing it on the show is a little it's a little rough. You've seen the 420 show, I'm sure. Keep it on track, sure. if you noticed in the opening there, I want to shout out to TJ Russell again for bringing out the Baja 911. I kind of scoped around it there at the very opening of the show. It's 2 weeks in a row he brought it up to Breakfast Club. I think he may be coming this week as well. Huge shout out. I said it almost as a joke, thinking like I didn't know if he really would, and then he did. And then the reception was so good that he did again. And it's sort of like, well, we all drive our car up. That's his car right now. So maybe if he just keeps becoming a regular, the Baja will be there every week. I don't know. But it's super, super cool. The Instagram photos of it out in the wild are so, so stinking cool.
People love it.
Yeah. We're hoping, and I planted the seed a couple times, and he has not said no, so I think this is actually going to happen. I think we're going to get to, David and I are going to get to drive it on the Adventures of Jay and Dave, season 2, for What Are You Driving Today?
That would be so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it myself. I'm excited about it. So in the meantime, come on up to Breakfast Club and go to dualshift.com or go on the Instagram at dualshift and get yourself a sticker pack or a GVBC shirt. Good Vibes Breakfast Club. There you go. Good stuff. And that's available at dualshift. It's no affiliation with the Baja 911, but they were both at Breakfast Club and I wanted to mention them, so I put them together.
It's fun to see those in the wild, too.
And now, since it's show and tell, the other day, I'm not going to get into the what's and whys of it with everybody, just because you've got your own troubles, but it's been a stressful week around here at Late Night Playset and in the Ryan household. Again, the details don't matter, but sometimes when I get stressed, one of the ways I relieve my stress is to, like, be productive in some way I had no intention of doing today. In our case this week, it was, I did a shit ton of cleaning, spring cleaning week. And I really went nuts with our place here. But one thing I got to, which I'm pretty excited about, was the walk-in closet in one of the bedrooms. And anyway, in looking through a bunch of old stuff and a bunch of boxes and throwing a shit ton of stuff away, I found an adorable photo of me and my mom when I was a kid. And she sent this to me. And it's adorable. I have changed nothing other than I've cleaned this. I dusted it. It was very dirty. But I have not it was in this frame. It was cut to this shape. All of this is how it was. And I'm going to show it to our Instagram audience first so that they can have a good chuckle at it. Oh, I guess everybody can see that then. All right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Here. Let's do this as well so everybody up here can see it. It's really the comedy of my face. And I don't know if you can see it in there, but I am just not having a good time. And she's got the whole face of, this is a lovely evening on and the whole bit. And and the fact that it's in this heart-shaped frame and everything else, I don't know. It's not funny to anybody else in the world, but it really, really, I think, describes my relationship with my mother in the past. I'll just leave that right there. Yeah. But the closet's clean, and the kitchen is all clean, and the rest of the apartment. I did the windows, scrubbed the floors, like one of those. All not so crazy. We were twins, man. Same hairdo and everything. Yeah. Were you as pissed off to be a kid as I was? Apparently, my entire childhood, I wanted to be an adult always. Now that I'm here, I just want to be a kid. So, you don't look happy, Jay. You look thrilled, Skip Floss says sarcastically. Crisible, you look thrilled. Oh, very nice. Let's see. All right. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Cadillac Pat, I'm so glad you're here, too. Good to see you, buddy. Okay, so there's that. Let me check some stuff off the list here so we can get Matt in here. Okay, TJ Russell, I mentioned that. And I mentioned, what are you driving today? And by the way, if anybody hasn't yet, go check out Tedward's YouTube channel. He just is the greatest. And he put up the nicest post the other day. And I just love that guy. He's really great. Get into Tedward. Programming note. I have a programming note. Here we go. It's in here somewhere. I didn't throw anything out. What's going on, Mrs. Ryan? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I got to change your Instagram handle. That's old. programming note, next week. All right. Well, first of all, coming up this week, we've got Matt Farah tonight in a few minutes. And then we've got Manuel Carrillo coming in on Thursday live in studio. And the show that we, Matt Farah and I, can't think of in a little bit is... It's called Seduced by Speed. It's on the Motor Trend channel. So we're going to be in to talk about that show and DeLorean, which I believe is one of the episodes, speaking of your dad and you and your whole family, Catherine, who is here watching right now. So this is kind of an interesting tie-in. Maybe you should watch on Thursday and tie in and have a voice. It's too soon to announce anything, but Catherine will be playing a bigger role on this show soon, in sort of, I think, maybe a multi-part kind of a situation where we do a deep dive on Catherine and her family and her backstory and growing up in the situation that was the stainless steel illusion or whatever the book was called, but the DeLorean car thing and everything that happened since. You know, her childhood home is what is now known as Trump Bedminster in New Jersey. That's where she grew up. That was her house. So there's a lot to get into there. A lot to get into.
It'll be really fun to get to know her this way.
So that's what's happening this week. Now back to that programming note. Programming note. Okay, next week is comedy week. So we got Greg Grunberg in on Tuesday. You're going to know him from everything if you don't know him already just by name. His face is going to be very familiar. His voice, his laugh is going to be very familiar. You know him from everything J.J. Abrams has done. They're really good friends. I used to work with him on Felicity back in the day. He was the roommate of like
Way
Scott
back.
Foley or whatever when I first moved to Los Angeles. And I had to start over again as a PA and everything. I mean, I've seen him since. We used to run into him at Comic-Con all the time. And that's probably been the last time I saw him. So probably 5 years ago or so. Six, 7 years ago. Jeez whiz, we are getting old. All right. Anyway, Greg Grunberg will be here. And then on Thursday, we're both really excited about this. Rob Corddry is going to be here. He's currently the host of Top Gear America, but he is also somebody that, I don't want to say you grew him because he was already doing all the hard work and everything, but he's somebody you worked with way before he was super famous, and he won 2 Emmys under you and under your tenure of working together, and Children's Hospital was birthed and spawned, and many, many other things. So we are really excited to get to know Rob Corddry in his current form because we knew the old version really, really well. And I guess I'm maybe more excited to show him our new version as well. So
same.
Excited. So next week, comedy week, programming note, there you go. Kayla Marzo, Justin's here. Omringer. Yay, Rob. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. And if you had any help in that, by the way, thank you, Sean, because you're a producer on that show. Sean Winograd over here, PCH driver, producer on Top Gear America. All right. What'd you miss? Next week's comedy week. Tune in. Okay, GVBC merch and Dual Shift. I did that. Check out Dual Shift. Also the Dual Shift hat, which I don't have here. I should get one. I'm going to get one on Friday. Remind me. So that we can hold that up as well. Okay, real quick, East Coast feed, and then we're going to get Matt in here. All right. Have to ask Rob about Pintos. Oh, man, I will. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. The thing is, back in the day when we used to hang out all the time. I mean, all the time. Like, we used to travel together for work and pleasure. We were really close with their family. Back in the day, we were BMW buddies, and I was always trying to get him to come to the track with me. Like, I had the coupe that was manual, and he had the sedan that was automatic. Like, we always, it was always that kind of thing. But I was kept trying to get him to come out to at least Willow or something. And he was always like, he really wanted to, but it just kind of never came about. And then now he's hosting Top Gear, driving out on that track professionally, getting paid for it. That's, he didn't want to blow it with me. He wanted to get paid for it. Smart guy. Smart guy.
I taught him well.
Yes, exactly. Smart guy. All right, everybody. Check it out. East Coast Feed. This is going to be Brooke and the Kazman and maybe the Munchkin in someplace special. I'm going to spin it around here so the Instagram audience can see. Roll it out.
Mr. and Mrs. Ryan, East Coast Feed, and look who's here. Carly, say hi to Jay and Nicole.
Hi.
Tell them where we are.
We're at Disney World for the first time.
And just in case you guys have never been to the Florida Disney World, look what's behind us. Sorry, front of us, actually. We're going that way. Yes, baby, what's up? I'm going to show them the castle. Okay, I'll show you the castle. One more time, I'll show you the castle. It's right back there, in case you didn't know, all right? So today's our actually, it's our third time to Disney World, second today, and once yesterday, all right? So that's it. We're all here having a good time. We're going to the Haunted Mansion. Coraline, where are we going? And tell Jay and Nicole, what don't you like?
I don't like the train ride because it's too fast and I was screaming the whole time.
The whole time. She was screaming the whole time. Well, she kind of liked it and then it got extra fast and not so much. Anyway, Brooke's talkative as usual.
Hi.
We love you guys. Say bye, Jay and Nicole.
Bye.
East Coast Feed?
East Coast Feed. Ah.
Aren't they the greatest? All right.
I love that.
And by the way, Instagram, I'm assuming you saw the bubbles. Put the bubbles there. What's that? Having a great time? Yeah, 3 times in 2 days, and it's still going?
It's absolutely unbelievable.
All right, let me turn the bubbles off, and let's see what's up with YouTube over here. We got Chris Fisher says, oh, I'm excited. Love y'all. We got Kat Seymour right here. We go. Kat's Lauren Seymour is hiding in a Groucho mask. I love you. Emmanuel Ramirez says, hey. And $2 donation. Pear character doing a Shaka sign with his hand saying cool. Huh. I wonder, it's almost like a description of an emoji. Right?
It's
anyway,
what it seems like.
Thank YouTube. Thank YouTube very much. Let's bring Instagram back in over here so I can do some commercials. And get our guest in here. Gabe Kaplan would be a great guest. Now that's a good idea.
Welcome back.
See, at least I get your reference. Nobody else will get what either one of us just did there. You, me, and Gabe Kaplan. The funny thing about that is we are friends with someone who is legitimately best friends with Gabe Kaplan. We can get Gabe Kaplan here. If you think he would be a good guest and you would like to see him, let me know, because I would love to talk to Mr. Cotter. That would be awesome. Looking good, Mr. Cotter. That's what that line's from
Friends.
Friends, yeah. All right. Model Citizen Diecast. All right, everybody. Okay, some quick commercials, and then we'll get Matt in here. Oh, by the way, our guest is Matt Farah this evening of the Smoking Tire. There he is in his Safari 911, Keensville. Being here in just a few minutes, kind of, sort of. I think that our grooming will be the same. I know our wardrobe is. Oh, I'm going to need to get rid of this for sure. And everything else should be fine, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll just Instagram up here. This is Jay Ryan. I'm doing this one first. Oh, this is Jay Ryan from Late Night Playset reminding you to please like, subscribe, and comment below. This feeds the internet algorithm and eventually us as well. Be a pal, like, subscribe, and comment below. Also, do me a favor and tell your friends if you like this show. A lot of people check this show out in the beginning, and, you know, it wasn't very good yet. And now I feel like we've gotten it a little bit better, and we could use a resample. Just saying, if you're willing to give us another sample, check it out. And if you like what you see, tell your friends. Trying to grow. Finally trying to grow. Finally care about that. Now, people who don't need to grow need a lift lately. Cruise into a healthy 2021 with Cruise into Wellness CBD. See, this stuff's already grown. You get it? The cruise is with a Z. If you're going to go to cruiseintowellness.com and you're going to place an order, you're going to want to use promo code late night for 20% off that order for being a loyal viewer of this show. Tell your friends, and they will get 20% off. You can pass the savings right on to them. Cruiseintowellness.com, cruiseintowellness.com.
Cruiseintowellness.com.
Gardrad gave a little bit of a, oh, because of the smoke. Ah, good point. Good point. I thought that was it's like a poop. Excuse Gardrad. Whew. A lot of fire over here. Up your nose with a rubber hose, says Poodles and Potholes. Well done, sir. Now, they say all that separates men and boys is the coverage for their toys. St. Clair Insurance has coverage for your toys. In addition to my toys here, the fog machine and the bubble machine and all the other toys that we have that are insured by St. Clair Insurance, collector cars is something we want to talk about that are... here comes a few bubbles for you. Collector cars are a commodity that are the smoke means Matt Farah has entered the building. Alpha 952 knows what's up. He is correct. The value of collector cars is all over the place lately. In most cases, it is going up. So there are two things I would look into lately. Get your car evaluated. Is that right? Get your car evaluated. Get your car's valuation by getting it evaluated. You're going to want to go to Kelly Blue Book after you go to Google. Peach Smoke. That's the other one. Kellamarzo. I don't get that. TLG's here, everybody. Huge shout out to Marco, Steve, Armando, and the entire family over at TLG. Get your Porsche some TLC. Come on home to TLG. It's the truth. Yellow car is actually in between service there because we're waiting on those tires from Michelin. Grateful again to our friend... I don't know if I'm supposed to even say his name, but our friend who is now taking care of us over at Michelin. And we do have tires on the way. I have confirmed. It's in the system. Everything has been entered. The day happened and put it into the... But there's a system because it's got to go to the agency, and then the agency disperses it. There's a whole dispatch process. Got to get in the queue and everything. We're just waiting on tires. And then yellow car is going under the knife again, taking the suspension apart. And... Marco, I was going to ask you about this tomorrow, but maybe for our other viewers, it's something they should know mechanically. I know we need to do an alignment for these tires and for the suspension work you're doing, but in my mind, I was going to have the guy do the tires and the alignment. Can we put the parts on now and hope for the best with the alignment, knowing that it's going to be all out of whack, and then do the tires and alignment, you know, in a couple of days or whatever after? Does that work, or am I upside down with my thinking on that? It's putting them on the spot, by the way. And exactly how much is it going to cost, also, by the way? That's not fair. It's a gamble. It's a gamble. Okay, yeah, I figured as much. Okay. All right, well, we can talk about that. Thank you for your honesty on that, and thank you for tuning in. Okay, did we do it? We did that. Tradecraft Farms, I want to say thank you very much to our friends at Tradecraft Farms for keeping Mrs. Ryan medicated over here on Tradecraft Tuesdays. We really, really appreciate that. In a few minutes, I have a feeling that Matt Farah will also be medicated by Tradecraft Farms here on Tuesday. And I think for this to work, we're going to take a quick break, like we did the other day, after these very, very, very brief words from our friends at Oh So Delicious Hot Sauce, the hot sauce made by bears. After that quick break, Matt Farah will be in here, right? Okay. Cross your fingers, and we'll see you in a minute. Oh, but since your tires are smoked already, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, that's it. No, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You wouldn't do it to a regular car, but since it's shit already and has to be replaced. Yeah, all right, so we'll talk about that. All right, Oh So Delicious hot sauce. Here we go. Wish me luck. Yep, here we go.
So delicious. It's the hot sauce made by bears. Garlic and serrano mixed with love and care. You can put it on your eggs, pour it on your rice. It's great on a leg, it's better on a slice. It's oh so delicious. It's the hot sauce made by bears. Oh So Delicious hot sauce. Great on everything except oatmeal.
Get your bottle today at osodelicious.org. $1 from every bottle sold goes to the National Military Family Association.
I mean, I've done other ruses. There's been The Great Sultan, one of the most fantastic movies of the 1990s, The Great White Hype.
Oh.
Actually, that's not Sultan quoting. Excuse me. It's Jeff Goldblum's character.
The Great White Hype?
The Great White Hype is not only a direct predictor of the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight that's going to be happening right now, almost beat for beat. It has one of the greatest ensemble casts that nobody remembers. Sam Jackson, Jamie Foxx, Damon Wayans, Peter Berg.
Holy crow.
Jeff Goldblum, John Lovitz, Kevin Pollak.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that one's great.
Yeah, there's 12 heavy hitters in this movie.
Watch that again.
You gotta watch it again. You gotta watch it again. I'm telling you, you watch it again, and is it Jake Paul or Logan Paul? Who's fighting Floyd Mayweather?
Oh my god!
Whichever one of those idiots is gonna fight Floyd Mayweather, it's beat for beat.
They're
both
guy,
YouTubers.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, they are both.
They're both YouTubers. One of them got into sort of this kind of celebrity boxing thing, and then decided
like
he was
Danny
a real
Bonaducci
boxer.
Thing way back when, that sort of deal. Remember he?
Yeah, but with
Geraldo
other equally. Uninteresting people, right? Other YouTubers that nobody cares about. And then he's decided now that he's a real fighter and he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather. And so if you remember the plot of The Great White Hype, the plot of The Great White Hype is that Damon Wayans is a super successful heavyweight champion that's bored of everything. He has every diamond and every toy and every everything. And he basically doesn't even want to fight. And Sam Jackson, who plays like a Don King type character, and goes, listen, boxing is about racism. And we are going to set up this white hero that white people can get behind. And this is the funny plot point of the movie is that they have all these sequences of people going to the betting window. And it's like, give me 20 on the clean cut white boy. And they find this guy and they just kind of turn him into someone that could beat and they hype it up enough that people start to believe the shit and go, you know what? I really think he could win.
So then people start betting.
And people start betting. And they call him Irish Terry Conklin. And he's like, I'm not even Irish. And John Lovitz goes, it's boxing. It just means you're white. It's one of the greatest lines in film. and it's exactly predicting what's happening right now. Exactly.
I realize that we need to watch it because I've never seen it. My mind, it was a basketball movie.
No. It's about boxing. It's about racism in boxing and celebrity and the hype around all of it and how it's all horseshit. And it was a satire from 25 years ago. And we're seeing this happen straight-faced.
I remember when it came out, and I think that I just, it was a sports movie that I just associated with, and because I remember all of those casts. I remember the commercials and everything, and I think I just associated, I probably flip-flopped it with the one with Daniel Stern and Dan Aykroyd, whatever that one was, at the exact same time, but apparently not nearly as good.
Angels in the Outfield?
No, the basketball one, whatever it was. Anyway, with that, we're back. We're sitting here with the smoking tire himself, Matt Farah. We've already picked it up.
It's important to know that the smoking tire is the name of the show, not the person. It's like Jethro Tull. The lead singer's name is Ian Anderson.
But look how you went Armageddon with the way you explained it to me. I like that. He's like, look, mainstreamer.
Hi, it's nice of you to bring out your Back to the Future DeLorean.
Danny Bodkin was here a week or so ago. Was he? And a couple weeks ago, and I haven't removed it. But you're a big fan, too.
I am
trying to get Bob Gale to come on.
Good luck.
We're trying to do timing wise. Well, I mean, he used to be a friend. Last time we saw him was at our house.
Yeah. When I met that dude, I brought a flux capacitor to sign, and he was over here. He couldn't have even been less interested.
Really?
Another flux capacitor. Okay.
Oh my god. This stuff.
I've heard him recant that Doc Brown doesn't drive a fucking Mustang line to 300 times.
That story was the hit of all the DeLorean conventions.
Oh my god,
wasn't it?
They fucking bro, that's their Born to Run. That's like right, like that's yeah. when that's like hearing the first few bars of dun 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 dun. It's like guys, Bob Gale's about to say fucking. Hang on,
yeah, here
everyone ready? Everybody ready? This is the part. This is why we bought the ticket. Hold on. Doc Brown doesn't drive a fucking DeLorean. That's what I told the Ford product planner.
And for most people who don't really realize it, much like, what is it, Larry David in Seinfeld, it's, you know, Doc Brown is really kind of Bob Gale. That's really the guy. I mean, the personality
yeah,
and everything.
That's
it's really
funny. Yeah.
Anyway, forget it. I know you're a big Back to the Future fan, too.
I am a big Back to the Future fan.
Deep.
Of course. And can have. It's a perfect script.
I don't think we've ever gone as deep because I don't really talk about it that much anymore because it was like used to be really deeply part of it. No, I mean like, Bob Gale, like we text and shit.
Hit him up. Let's see what's going on.
Let's see what's up.
If he wants to come down. Hey, Bobby. How you doing, huh? Tell him there's a new thing called Clubhouse and he should join it. That really gets people excited.
What is Clubhouse? I can't hear people talking about it, but I haven't investigated yet.
It's a social networking app for conference calls.
Good. Keep it.
It repositions conference calls as content.
Well, that's what
as
Zoom's
in like
doing.
I could have a conference call with my fans. It's like here's a way for your fans to listen to you talk and I go like a podcast? Like a podcast except you don't get paid.
And it's on this other platform. It's on this other platform. Right.
Yeah.
You gonna switch?
No.
You gonna switch, man?
No. I tried it for 30 minutes, and immediately I was put into a room with two people who I had blocked on my phone.
Oh,
And one person who I had listed as don't answer.
Because all of a sudden, all the walls are gone. They have access again.
There's a back door.
There's a new way in.
There's a back door into the app.
And yeah. Of course, the first people who are using it
are people who are like, "Oh, you're in here?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on? It's been a while."
Yeah. All right. So maybe Clubhouse ain't for me.
Delete app. Delete account.
Oh, this is my old life too, T. Like all of it.
All of the old PR stuff.
Yeah. Like hearing it, having already dealt with it.
Well, because you were the gatekeeper for everybody.
Yeah, I was talking to someone this weekend, like all this social networking stuff that's happening, like they came to us first.
Did you see the guy who was, there was a guy up at Bill's this weekend who, he came up and chatted with me and I think he was right around where you guys were chilling on the porch and he had the thing on the back of his phone that it's like the button. Have you seen that?
No.
I was like, so you're a founder, huh? And he's like, well, actually. He's like, let me get your number. And I was like, all right. He puts his phone up and just like does this thing where it's like he puts this sticker on the back of his phone next to like my camera. And it's like a QR code for your contacts.
Bro, don't you remember what it used to be? There was a
the
thing
bump
where you,
thing.
Yeah, you would bump it together.
Did it not work that well?
Everyone broke phones.
They weren't clanking them together. They were and they would drop it.
You kept and they were like, guys, this is a really bad idea. That's funny. Yeah. So it's that. But he had a thing to do that. I don't know.
I mean, that's okay.
It's fine.
That's fine.
At least this
look. See you on Clubhouse.
He's selling. It's not like. If you give me $10,000 now, this car will drive itself by the end of the year. It's not like that. Not that.
Go to.
Well, it's the most egregious out in the open scam in existence right now.
What are we talking about?
Full self-driving. That is not. So,
available for sale currently.
It's just an active and ongoing fraud that people are really rooting for because they're financially or emotionally invested in it.
Where do you stay? I mean, what do you think the future is on self-driving cars? Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think it's going to happen?
In the near term, and by that I mean the next 50 years.
Like
that's what I call the near term. Yeah. We will see some heavily geofenced shuttles, basically. Not privately owned. Company owned. Yeah, because below ground we have subways. Those are already.
Oh, I know, but there's somebody working on a tunnel deal board.
That
and
is,
shit.
I mean, so just.
Said, but this thing.
Did you see that thing in Vegas? I mean, you want to talk about?
No, I wanted to ride.
You know
the one
those
down
memes, like how it started and how it's going. The how it started is like fucking Star Trek, and how it's going is a Tesla Model X driving on pavement through just a single lane tunnel that appears to have no safety features in it whatsoever.
Do you remember Boston and the Big Dig? Our
oh, my God, yeah.
It was our entire it was like 30 years.
I never went to Boston. I went there right when they finished it. and I was, and I remember being
in
like
the 2000s maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like 2005, 2006 when it was open. I never been to Boston before, so I can't say about the before after. But that's a shitty driving city.
Yeah, well, you used to have to go all around all of that fucking knot of shit. Instead of driving.
Well, cities designed in the 1700s.
To fly there all of that. It was always like,
getting from Logan into the city. Oh, yeah, it was brutal.
It was a nightmare.
It's a terrible driving city. It has its own it has its other merits, but so I read a book called Traffic. That's called Traffic. It's by Thomas. I want to say Vandenbrink. That might not be correct, but it's just called Traffic. And they lay out over about 50 pages why adding lanes, be it above, below, wide, just doesn't solve traffic problem at all. I mean, it doesn't do anything. The only thing that solves traffic is easily accessible and well-designed public transportation. It's the only thing that solves traffic.
People have to use it.
And also driver training. Well, if it's not, people have to use it. People are going to use it if it's good. I mean, it has to be good.
If it functions, people will.
If it's good, people will just use it. Yeah. I would love to take, like, when I took the it's not the subway,
metro
whatever,
here,
the metro you call it, from Santa Monica to downtown for
that's
like a.
That's perfect.
And yeah, if you
at
live
the points, it's perfect.
If you live by one of the two points, it's great. But I had to like drive to the thing, you know what I mean? And now it's
park.
there's no way. It's LA is just too LA is too it's I think we're too far gone.
I agree.
I think LA is too far gone. I don't think
for a second COVID was going to fix it, and then the moment like the everything was lifted and the freeways were jammed again, I was like, "Fucking, maybe worse than it was."
The freeways are jammed, and in the off season, everybody bought a car. I mean, it's like, you know, Paul Kramer has sold like 3 or 4 cars to my clients in the last like 5 months.
I help with one of them at least, for sure. It seems like the people who have money definitely have more of it, so they're definitely adding to their collections.
Kind of the unfortunate truth of the last year is that the people that were going to be all right are like just rolling in cash, you know, and there's people that are really, really struggling.
Yeah.
I happen to be on the all right side, so that's good for me, but I'd happily be a little less all right if it meant a few people would be helped by that situation, but what are you going
to
do?
We'll get back to self-driving cars in a minute, but in the meantime, since we're on this token, though, started a new business in the past year that is doing very, very well, and everybody who knows you is very, very proud of you. Let me just say that. How does it feel?
Thanks. I mean, wow, after an intro like that, I mean, what can you say?
I hope good. It is good. I hope it feels real, real good.
It's, you know, when you spend 4 years building a building. And by the way, we're talking about Westside Collector Car Storage, is my parking lot.
WCCS.com.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I'm glad that I accurately identified a market need, is all I can say. I mean, I lived on the West Side, and I was like, well, there isn't anywhere to keep anything here. I should try and work on that problem. And, you know, it was a pain in the ass. But now that we're open, it's anything but a pain in the ass. The customers are appreciative.
The customers. I'm going to coin that.
The customers. That's a good word, actually. That's for like a Dilbert comic strip or something. The customers are appreciative and not particularly needy. The staff is professional. I can come do stuff like this. You know, this morning I was filming cars, and the middle of the day I was at the shop for a minute, and now I'm up here, and so I don't have to sit there. I know that it's going to be professional and run like I want it to be run. But the coolest thing is like when I don't know, architects or like engineers or people like that come in and they go, whoa, you know, that's because I didn't draw it. I didn't engineer it. But, you know, we
kind of the idea and the whole concept really did come from your.
I didn't invent any of that. I honestly.
Really?
No. I had some key details that set us apart from other places.
You have the idea to do the stacks and everything? I thought that
those existed. They had those. Mm-hmm. Like, those are things that exist. My idea was.
You're being modest, but good
for you. No. My ideas were just how do I creatively fit the most cars into this relatively small space?
So.
But it's not. Like, I didn't invent anything. The only thing that I could take any credit for even coming close to inventing is the battery tending system, which I literally drew on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and then found someone to manufacture it for me. And the people who make the lifts are like, did you patent that? I was like, no. I don't know how you'd patent it. I took two things that you can buy at Home Depot and a relatively off-the-shelf real unit. I'm not really sure.
There's nothing proprietary about it.
Not really, no. I mean, it's cool. I could say I came up with like a fun thing that helps my business out, but
if you're
it's not like
Neistat, that's a cool YouTube video.
Who's my market? Other people who buy quad stackers? I mean, it's like this is not a lot.
Other people who it's a do pretty you, li- your competition pretty, would be your market.
It's a pretty limited market. If you have to buy this $50,000 stacker to add this little battery tender system, it's not, you know, it's a pretty small market you're working for, you know. But I didn't come up with any of that. The only things I came up with were I made a list of the 10 most annoying things about owning a car in LA, and I found a way for our business to address each of those things.
You found the problems that you could solve.
Sure. I mean, and you know, it's simple stuff. It's the angles of the ramps. It's the size of the spaces. It's the accessibility of outlets for battery tenders. It's the availability of the ability to pull a truck and trailer through the building and out the other side. It's the basics. It's just basics that make your life a little easier.
Foresight, very few people have.
That's kind of what.
Yeah,
I'm
if you're gonna start from scratch,
a big deal.
You know, if you were gonna like. Do a kitchen from scratch, you know, you'd be like, well, what are, you know, I have control over more.
One would think, just
you're right. Hey,
raise your stock.
There you
a
go.
Bit.
There you like, go. One would think.
One would think.
I read this fucking amazing book. The five, it's like the five rules. I keep forgetting the name of it, which makes me an idiot.
It's 70. You plug your phone in. Oh no, it's somewhere else.
Phone is it's over there. I didn't want it like near me. Oh, is this what people do? They plug their
sometimes,
phone in.
Yeah.
No, I didn't want it distracted.
It's into a plug and not a computer, so there's no data.
Someone who heard me talk about it on the podcast can comment on Instagram or something. It's like
oh, there you go.
The five. Jesus Christ!
And then we'll throw it out.
Drive me insane.
Old Trapper says he loves your cats, Matt. Smoothies bite.
They're adorable. Bite.
I mean, I have a whole Instagram. There's probably a couple thousand people on Instagram that exclusively follow me for cat content.
Yeah.
You can tell because they're women.
Oh. Although, well, I don't know, man. There's not to change the subject again, but there are so many cars, women car collectors that I'm meeting lately that I'm being introduced to or that are new collectors in general. Do you find that with your customers as well? Or is it just
two
kind
of our,
lately it's just a weird thing for me?
Two of the folks that have...
I don't mean it like that.
We have two women, professional women. not related to each other or friends with each other that each have three cars stored with us, which makes
each
them
girl each person has three cars. Yeah,
yes,
that's awesome.
And they're cool. They drive them. They're very active in the SoCal events, and they got their Instagram on their cars and the whole deal.
Oh boy,
they go to your events. You know, and
well, I know one of them for sure.
You know one, and I think you know the other one as well.
Okay.
But
is she based here in SoCal?
I'm certainly not gonna.
Would that be then? Yes, of course.
Yeah. But they have multiple cars, and so that's and we have a couple of other female clients as well. But it's I think I am starting to see more. Visible ones, pseudo influencers, we could call micro influencers, you might call them.
I'm noticing it on Instagram. There are a lot of new
the algorithm. It's the algorithm.
Nice.
No, I'm seeing them in person. I'm seeing them at events.
Yeah,
and
events
stuff.
And stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget her name, but that like 16-year-old girl with the Miata with the cage in it, who was there on Sunday.
Oh, I don't know.
It was like the car was painted down the middle and was black on the left and white on the right. It was one of those deals.
That actually sounds somewhat cool.
Deal. Yeah, it was cool. She's going to be on fucking Leno. She's going to be on Jay's Garage. Yeah, Jay just like saw her at Bill's and was like, hey, want to come to the show?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But she had it was a street car that was had a full cage in it, like with halo bars and shit.
Wow.
And I tried to tell her to talk her out into taking the cage out because I don't want to die.
Yeah, it's not really the safest thing on the street. You
don't it's
need that.
So dangerous.
You get in a regular accident, you're going to kill yourself.
The smallest little accident, you could die. I mean, yeah. You just, you know, a 20-mile-an-hour crash with a head injury into a cage, you're dead.
Because you're not wearing a
don't cage
on the
street. Your
streetcar.
Yeah, having
you know a. I mean? So you're basically just putting a hardwire and a bunch of hardware in your
head into steel pipe. I mean, any kind of crash resistance that your car came with from the factory is just gone. That's not just
this
girls.
I was going to say this isn't a girl.
That's
thing.
Not just girls. I've seen plenty of guys driving cage streetcars too. It's just it's a really bad idea. It's one of those things that sounds cool. But it's not. You can die in an accident where it's like, what do you mean he's dead? Like the car is fine. You know what I mean? It's like the car is not even crashed. You know.
The equal thing for me is seeing people without the helmet driving around in the 5-point, or at least the harnesses and everything.
You know, I've put harnesses in cars before, and I've done it twice, and I've immediately regretted it both times. And you shouldn't do that either.
Yeah.
Even beyond your safety recommendation,
it's
annoying.
Racing,
they're
you're
so
using
annoying.
Your regular. Oh yeah.
Dude, they're forget so that. Annoying. Stupid it's like, all right, get in the car. And the passenger seat, you're driving around solo. It's clank, 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 clank. Yeah. Fucking clanking into each other.
Plus, you have to do any passenger. No, you got to do that. No, it clanks into here. No, you pull this lever out.
Yeah, when you're 16, you're like, I get to reach into a crotch. It's cool.
I think when I was 16, I probably still bought the shoulder straps for the pad thing.
Bro.
I bought one set of I had a Mitsubishi 3000 GT.
Of course you did.
So it had
so
to
it's
go
JDM,
with those.
Yeah.
It went with
sorry.
Those.
Sorry. They put this ugly shit on in Japan, so it's okay if I put this ugly shit on here.
I was a kid. I totally thought it was awesome.
But isn't it funny
a green
how
car
like
with blue pads? It was awful.
But like as Americans, we will excuse some like heinous looking mods if it's what they do in Japan. Like you don't understand. It's JDM.
Oh,
it's
this
like,
is badass somewhere else. You just don't get it.
You don't get it. Like, really? I'm pretty sure that was somebody was making fun of that in a Tokyo car meet as well. That's not like the dopest shit in Japan, and that's how it ended up here.
God.
It's like the former president said, they aren't sending their best. You can invert that awful quote about like the cars that get exported out of Japan. Where it's like they've been raped on. You know, their clutches have been murdered. And I assume are okay. Some have clean titles. You know, you can really invert that about JDM imports. Some, I assume, are good cars. You know, it's funny when it's about the cars. It's about races. It's not so funny.
Anytime where it's easier to make a list of the negatives than the positives, you know.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about YouTube Gold? Yeah.
But boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Here's the 10 things I hate about anything. Talk about
YouTube
a winner.
BuzzFeed, I think it's called.
Not yet. Just BuzzFeed, really.
What
else is on these cards?
Oh, this is for other shit.
Okay,
this is
well,
for
cool.
other shit.
It's just like dressing.
Yeah,
nice.
So, well, because we don't, normally this is live. We do the whole thing live. So, like, I got live ad reads to do.
Oh,
upcoming
yeah.
guests, plugs for other people.
Oh,
or
but,
whatever,
but it's Monday.
No, it's Tuesday. Yes, we're on Monday, but
yeah.
This will go out. The Instagram people are getting
sorry.
It now.
I'm very sorry. I had to change days. It's very
inconvenient. Don't worry about it. Is everything good with you? It was just a scheduling thing.
I have a cancer treatment tomorrow.
I hope you're kidding. Gee whiz. No, what a way to...
No.
It's not fun to joke about when I'm sitting here.
It's not fun to joke about cancer treatments?
Broken anything. Doesn't
you can't...
Work
oh, out. You can't... We can't have... We
you
can't
can,
joke about any disease at all.
If
it's blanket,
real,
no. If it's real.
If it's real, joke about that.
Shit,
but like, right.
I gotta make up a disease
like,
before I come down here. All right.
I think what it is
next
like
time
the
I come
Seinfeld
the show,
episode
I gotta
where
disease.
Tim Watley is doing the Jew jokes, but
right.
he hasn't converted yet.
Right.
It's
yes.
like, if you're really ailing, fine. But if you're not actually in a wheelchair, you don't get to make those jokes.
I see.
That's what
damn
I
damn it.
Yeah.
I thought by saying cancer that I but no okay
if it was
pimple,
real
pimple popper MD
if it was all right when I get I'll make sure to write down when you eventually get cancer you can
I'm gonna change the out. World like it's just semantic that's how you talk to people it's really simple
yeah got it
it's like bad comedy like stop You don't have to try to make things funny. Like, things are funny. Like, if you just.
Okay? What's happening over here?
I got a little high on the pen.
Spinning out of control. Tokyo Drift.
I thought I was supposed to try to make things funny. I thought that was my job.
I think that. Can I just ask, is doing the Smoking Tire podcast might not be your long term end goal with you as a personality on television? Do you have an end goal, or on whatever, in a creative format?
I prefer to not be on television.
Really?
Television.
I know,
television kind of sucks.
That was a silly way to say it,
but I don't know. Podcast is fun. Podcast is fun.
Could you do it forever? I mean, could you do it for 10 more years?
Sure.
20 more years.
I don't think that far ahead. I have no idea.
No, I know. I'm not.
I really like doing radio. Like, I enjoy doing radio. It's not like I'd say, like, I would do it. I like it so much.
No, that's a good point.
For free. But, like, as a way to, like, earn a living, our numbers and stuff are strong enough that Zach and I earn a pretty good living doing the show.
Yeah.
And the time invested versus the return is really good. And now we've got this beautiful studio at my place that I built, and it makes it really nice. And we've got, good microphones and good, and talking
steps,
about
cars. Steps it up a bit.
Well, yeah. And I enjoyed doing it without those things too, because I like doing radio, but I wouldn't have done all that if I didn't see a long-term play.
So, hypothetically, serious. Have you ever done a serious type show?
Yeah, before 2007 and 8.
Oh, you had
RPM Radio on Maxim 101.
Whoa.
I followed fucking Covino and Rich, who went on to be like real big, like serious personalities. My show was actually on XM pre-merger.
Gotcha.
And it was me and Spinelli doing cars for an hour. No, I would never go back to doing something like that.
Really?
First off, everybody that I've ever known who's worked on Sirius has hated it and called it a miserable experience.
I've actually heard similar.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, everybody.
I know.
I'm friends. I'm tight with Opie, who was there forever. My friend Christian Hand had a show for a long time.
Oh, he did too?
Oh, yeah. He had a show with Jason Ellis.
I didn't realize that.
We just
booked him. Back in Christian's going to be here.
Oh, is he going to come in? Yeah. Oh, fun. I didn't have a bad experience per se. My involvement with the company was pretty limited. It was literally like, I don't even think I got paid, honestly. I actually don't think I got paid. I mean, if I did, it was like
congrats on the experience.
Show. I was 25. I mean, I don't even give a shit. I really enjoyed it. Doing radio, I went in the booth like, Opie and Anthony's right over there. Mm. Like fucking Stern's across the hall. Like, holy shit. I'd go in and I'd go into that like fishbowl.
Oh, you were across from 30 Rock. I went to the studio to do it.
And that actually was cool for like a minute, but that's actually sort of what sucked. Because like, you gotta be there at 2 every Thursday. You have to be at the place at the time.
Midtown Man.
Whereas the idea of just recording it when it's convenient for you.
Yeah, now you have your own
and then bowl. Releasing it on a predictable schedule. Well, that's awful nice.
Right.
It becomes a lot more worth your time if you could do it whenever it's convenient for you.
Are we also at the time, like as far as culture and the world and technology and everything goes, are we also at the place where maybe having a successful podcast like you is the goal? Maybe that is the ultimate goal for certain people.
Oh, I bet my podcast gets a lot more downloads than a lot of stuff than a lot of streams on Sirius get.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously podcasting is like, the place. If you want to do talk radio, no one's going on the radio to do talk radio anymore. That's what this is for.
I guess that's kind of what my maybe coming to the realization as we do it. But there used to be such a cachet with, in the old days it was television. But then for a while there was radio, Sirius, all those. And nowadays maybe, you, Joe Rowe, yours is, are you the highest rated automotive podcast?
For cars, yeah, them, but right? That's like being, the biggest goldfish in a bowl on somebody's desk. I mean, it means nothing. It's like, there's such a small genre.
Well, I'm not asking you to take credit for it, I guess. You're at the top of that chain.
We get
though.
50 to 80,000 downloads an episode, which for a podcast about cars is a lot.
It's a
Rogan gets 11 to 15 million downloads an episode. So he's like... So
it's not quite the same as what you're saying?
It's like 50 to 80 times the traffic week. You know, it's crazy. You know, it's a huge, huge... And a lot of the comedy guys, like Segura, you know, Segura's show, mm-hmm. which does really well. I mean, they get enormous numbers, the comedy guys do. So
yeah.
We are a big fish, but in a very small pond. It's okay. It's fine.
Well, maybe that's what it is then. Because this started with, it's my job to be funny. Would you ever get into comedy? Because I've talked to Zach about
this. I did stand up once. I did 7 minutes at an open mic night.
Wait, you did 7 minutes once?
I did 7 minutes
Where?
Once. I went 2 minutes over my light at Brennan's.
the place turtle is
the
racing?
Race turtles in
That's,
Venice.
I used to, at open used mic. To be my spot.
Yeah. I did well. I did so well, I scared myself ever doing it again. I got laughs. I got applause. I did
Were you
well.
Drunk?
Think I probably had.
I was wasted at Brennan's. That's why I'm asking.
I wasn't wasted, but I definitely had probably like 3 vodka and Diet Cokes before going up.
Loosened up, lubricated. Good
yeah.
to go.
And I drove. I was driving a Dodge Viper ACR press car.
So you're balling anyway.
I made a joke about the press car that I something about it. It's like something I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about it being shaped like a penis and it's designed to be driven directly into a waiting vagina, something like that. and then I told a revenge story about this girl who broke my heart, and then I like left her abandoned on the side of the road when I saw her car broken down, and I could have helped her and didn't, and let her get a DUI instead. And now, I mean, it is kind of a funny story, but it's like I did pretty well actually, and I did well enough that I was like, no, the next time I go up, I'm gonna bomb for sure, and I don't want to. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah,
it's too bad. I probably could figure out how to be okay at being a comic.
That's kind of. I think you could too, because you are very funny, and you're also very naturally quick, and you can link, and you can analogize. There's all the different things that you sort of need. This little bag of tricks to be successful.
Yeah.
And you kind of just inherently, your personality sort of has a lot.
I don't have the grind to practice it. Like, I think the podcast gets me enough of that.
That's the thing. I don't think you need to anymore.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. The podcast gets you enough of the talking to people. You know, that I don't feel the need.
I always tell other people, this was my road work. This was my 3 years of being on the road or whatever.
Sure.
Because I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. You've been doing it for years and years and years. Maybe that's exactly it. You've just honed your skill. You had it naturally and then you honed it over and over.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I can speak with authority.
Are you happy with what you do, though? I mean, with you, like when you speak, you can watch yourself. You're not one of those people who hates themselves. And
I don't really enjoy watching myself, but like...
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy watching myself. I do if I have to. If I need to participate in the editing process of a film of some kind, then I do watch it. But I won't be the person that ever puts on my own shit.
Yeah.
And I don't really go back and listen to my own podcasts or anything, really.
Did you in the beginning?
No. I did less, probably less then than I do now.
Oh, that's interesting. I did a lot.
I hated myself a lot in the beginning. I don't hate myself as much anymore.
I feel similarly, but did that come through podcasting, or is that just life and growing?
No, that's just
doing the work and all that.
That's it from other things. But but the end result is the same.
Yeah.
No, it's
great success, by the way, once you get to that kind of clarity.
Yeah, I mean security. You know, not self-confidence, but like just like self-acceptance, you know, kind of does.
Yeah. That spins around. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I was going to like swivel
Zach
it off.
Zach thought he was breaking it.
Yeah. I thought I was going to swivel it off into the stratosphere there. Yeah. No, I that does. But yeah, of course. I mean, I have a sweet gig, dude. I'm chill. Like I get to drive like awesome cars and then talk about cars. In a beautiful room that you built with my friends and like that's a pretty awesome way to earn a living. Like I don't really have a whole lot of things I'd rather do differently.
That's aspirational for me. If we can make money doing this,
yeah,
for sure, that's it.
Well, it's very difficult, you know. And obviously, like I still heavily participate in the gig economy.
Right.
you know, I write for multiple publications, and I do the podcast, and I have to do like a variety of like very silly and mildly embarrassing commercial gigs, you know, that I don't really enjoy doing, but that I do because, you know, you got a mortgage to pay and whatever.
What do you mean by that? You mean personal appearance type things, or do you mean like doing a video for something?
Advertising stuff. Yeah, advertising stuff where, you know, you for one reason or another, you just feel, you know, it's not like you're hawking garbage that you don't, like, I would never advertise any product that I think is dangerous or illegal or whatever, or that I couldn't conceivably see that, like, I don't use everything I advertise, but like I have to go, oh, okay, well, this is a thing that I could see someone getting some enjoyment out of, and it's a real thing. It's a quality item. It's not a piece of junk. You know, if someone spent their money on it, they're not going to go, wow, Matt Farah encouraged me to buy this thing that was not represented. Right. But sometimes you're like, well, this is, you know, kind of, I feel kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to be the person. It's not just on the video, on the car videos too. It's not just on the podcast. The podcast, it's just, you know, you ad lib or read the ad, but on the car videos, you gotta really act it out sometimes. You gotta really Billy Mays that shit up.
Hey everybody, Billy Mays here.
And if you're willing to talk about your balls, I mean, you get paid more.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
What?
If you're willing to talk about grooming your balls, products on your balls. If you're willing to say that you use ED medication, you can get very rich.
I'm willing to do all of that, but getting into
if
that
you're like, I take this medication because my dick doesn't work right, and the blue chew or whatever fixes
busted,
my shit.
I would fall
you
on
will
that
literally
grenade in a heartbeat.
You'll make like it's like a 3x premium if you're willing to get on the go on the radio and be like, I take these boner pills and they make me have boners.
That's so awesome.
I don't actually, because I don't use them, so I don't say I do. I read the ads, but I don't do the personal endorsement section.
Right.
It's still more than the average ad.
Right. Go to my MySpace. Go to my OnlyFans for like a real before and after type of deal.
My OnlyFans. We haven't gone down the direct deposit route. We haven't gone down the Patreon, OnlyFans, you know, whatever route. And people encourage us to do that, but we haven't.
I guess the long way of trying to say before is you have some comedians in. You've had Tom Segura in. Yeah, I guess so. You're just doing kind of what
we've had
do
comedians
in. You have sort of everybody. They don't have to be a car guest for you.
I mean, it helps if we're going to have a comedian if they're kind of into cars. I mean, I like comedy, but like, you know, the audience is looking, you know,
like
at
Byron,
a certain point.
Byron, he's a
yeah,
car guy.
And I had Chris Porter, who I like, who is into cars. I've had who else is Alonzo Bowden.
Oh,
who,
I love
who
him,
knows
yeah.
a lot about cars.
I think
and
he's come here at one point. I think he's coming.
I think so.
He's around. Yeah. He's good. He's a good guy. And
the only problem, I always think of Alonzo Mosley every time I hear it from Midnight Run.
I don't know
why. It's unfortunate, but Yaphet Kotto just died. So
R.I.P. Yaphet Kotto. Yeah. I liked him in The Running Man.
That's a movie.
The Running
that
Man
almost
rules.
Nobody. Was it the British guy, Michael York? Is that who it is?
Is The Running Man?
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger is the main person.
Oh, I'm thinking of Logan's Run.
Oh, yeah, no, The Running Man is about the post-apocalyptic game show.
Yes.
Where it's like the gladiators.
They're all in the arena.
Yeah.
And shit.
You're a stalker. You're either a runner or you're a stalker. And the runners were convicted felons that can, quote, you know, earn their freedom. And the stalkers are these, like, ex-wrestlers and ex-military guys that they give all these
like big Hulk
toys.
Guys, yeah.
You know, one has a flamethrower and one has a chainsaw
and one's got
an electric hockey stick.
Really,
I mean,
dress it up.
Yeah. And you got to get through, beat the stalkers and, you know.
Gauntlet.
And then there's gambling on all of it. It's like all everyone just bets.
Just future gladiator,
everyone bets
right?
on what stalker is going to have the first kill. You know, like I bet Sub-Zero is going to kill him in zone two. And if you do, you win, like, you know, the Running Man home game and a bunch of other shit.
Like Hunger Games.
Yeah, it was. It was like pre-Hunger Games, but yeah. And actually, it's set in a post-apocalyptic L.A., and there's some really, really fun L.A., like, not landmarks, but, like, L.A. sites that you can that have been kind of dressed up in a funky way in this weird, you know, like the Sony building in Culver City. It's like that pyramid, that stepped pyramid building.
Yeah. Yes.
They make it look right like this,
yeah,
like the Evil Network's like headquarters.
Wait, yeah, I've seen that.
And there's all these fun like Culver City like spotting in it. It's really fun.
It's supposed to be outer space in the future or whatever.
It's a post-apocalyptic LA, but it's...
Oh, so it is legitimately here, supposed to be.
I mean, they don't really say that. They don't go, this is Los Angeles, but they're making television,
yeah,
you know, and it, yeah, so pretty much.
Not
yeah
as far as Escape from New York.
It's not as, like, on the nose as that, but pretty, but it, there's a lot of LA, insidery LA shit in it, yeah. I like, now that I live here, I like finding insider. I like to go back and watch movies from my youth that are set in LA.
This is my favorite. Absolutely.
Like watching Speed.
It's the best.
Once I lived here, I was like, I was like, I understand how this works. Someone was like, yo, there's 20 miles of freeway. What can we do with that?
Yeah.
And they just wrote a script around having a freeway
when
to
they
fuck
were building
with
the 105.
Yeah.
100% true.
That's genius.
Yeah.
Yo, we got this freeway. What kind of script do you want to write about a freeway?
That's
awesome.
That's the only reason that second Matrix, I think, is
the Matrix
big chip
has
the
105.
Like, well, we got this freeway.
Yeah. We got to use it. Yeah. Here it is. You know,
we'll never get this opportunity again.
Right. You know, and like Terminator 2.
That's a great,
you know,
one.
A lot of great LA scene spottings there. You know, and then like stuff like Fast Times and E.T.
Same place.
E.T., the kid's house is like right at the base of where I go to the canyons. It's in Sunland.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you wouldn't think of it. It's in Sunland, all the way up against the mountain.
Valley, no kidding.
No.
Oh, that's
other
cool
side.
That's
yeah
cool. Where the kid would back the Audi down the driveway.
Yeah.
We had that same Audi when I was a kid.
Was it a 5000?
5000S, yeah.
Dude, you never see them.
No.
You roll
well, that
up
was the
in
one that had all the controversy. Remember?
Yeah.
That was the almost killed Audi.
Yeah. You roll up in a 5000, you probably get a trophy at Radwood, especially out here.
Those
East
long
Coast
overhangs
kids. Yeah, East Coast kids would see them like, they must have sold fucking 4 cars in LA in period. Nobody was driving Audis in California in the 90s. That's like a Vermont, New York,
there was
Massachusetts
a
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz if you didn't need
Audi
the all-wheel drive, if you didn't need the four-wheel drive, you're like, whatever. Let me get that Beamer. You know, they were about the E30.
That was everybody in my town. It was all BMW.
All BMWs?
All BMW, yeah.
What town were you, though?
Wilton.
Yeah. I mean, I was only like 40 miles from there. My town was...
If we cut through the woods...
My town
Brown
was
Ridge,
Tahoe's,
right,
Grand Cherokees.
That's
and,
what my dad ended up with, a
yeah,
Grand
everybody, Cherokee. Everybody had a Grand Cherokee. Everybody. You weren't
It was
fucking,
the sensible choice.
You weren't shit. Unless you had one. One kid got the 5.9 with the hood vents and shit on it and the big motor.
Whoa.
Remember that one?
Yes, but I didn't
that
know.
That was like the first ever fast SUV. It was like just a stupid huge engine in an other
one. People towed boats with it and shit, right?
Yeah, and the kid that had one in my school, all I remember him doing with it is rolling it into a tree. There was I went to Rye Country Day School, and around the back of the school there was a neighborhood, and the school was on top of this hill, and it probably went maybe 200-300 feet, and there were some houses built on the side of the hill, and it, you know, went downhill, but there was a jump, because there was a cross street,
street
in the middle of the hill, like a bullet, like San Francisco, like, and so
a launching pad.
There was
you'd go
down the hill. And you'd hit this, you know, the speed limit's like 25. You'd hit this fucker at 40.
Your
four wheels off. I mean, proper four wheels off. Because below the pad, the second drop, it was, you know, up from the hill, down, flat. And the second one was really steep.
Wow.
And so, you know, you didn't need much. You straight out was air, big air. You know, if you got just enough momentum to go forward.
You could do this in any car, let alone.
Any car.
Yeah.
I mean, any car. Mm. And I'm not going to say his last name, but Jeff. Jeff D.
Jeff with the
Cherokee. Jeff D and Jeremy L. went out in the Grand Cherokee and fucking sent it. I mean, really. And had.
What's at the end? Is it woods or is it just
it's
more,
no,
it,
you're,
more
it's
road,
street. It's
down.
The road. It's the road. And it goes down and, you know, like a ski jump. At the bottom, there's a stop sign. So if you don't have brakes, you're going into an intersection. But they didn't even make it to the intersection. They just. Cartwheeled, and you know, it
was
like,
it a bad launch or a bad landing? Like,
oh, it was a bounce.
Oh, yeah,
they landed so hard they bounced it into the trees.
Gone in 60 seconds, kind of deal.
It was bad. The kid, dude, one of the kids' faces was fucked after. I mean, you
Class.
Know.
Huh? Oh, you mean permanently?
Like, like scar, face scarring. The other one was like had a cane for months. I mean, it was a bad scene.
Would that have been?
It's a bad scene. That kid, you know, that kid. His parents bought him a brand new 328 IS E36 Sport Pack.
After that.
That was the replacement for the Jeep they fucking sent into the trees.
Lower center of gravity.
Rye Country Day School. Where if you total your first car, we'll get you a better one. I had a friend who totaled his way up to a fucking 535i my senior year.
Oh, my God. The only reason I know Rye Country is because of the school closings in the morning when you're listening to the radio when we were kids, and it was all alphabetical, so I had to get to
Wilton. You had to get past ours.
Yeah.
Most people knew Rye Country Day because we had the best ice rink.
That's true.
I went to a school, it was K through 12, right? So 12 grades, and it was 700 people. Mm-hmm. For all those grades,
small.
And we had an ice rink. That's the kind of school I went to.
That's amazing.
It's been expanded since. And it was the best ice rink in Westchester. When the hockey strike happened in 94, mm-hmm. the Rangers practiced at my school, which was a fucking novelty every single day to have the Rangers show up and practice at your school. But
just
it was
warming
the,
up the ice, no big deal.
It was the cold. They kept this. I mean, now I know that they just had more money than everybody else. They kept the entire ice room colder. It was freezing in there. Mm-hmm. Normally, they try to keep it at like a bearable temperature for spectating. They were all, fuck you.
This.
We want fast ice. And it was like 20 degrees in this room, in the ice room all the time. Ice room. What do you call a room that has an ice rink in it?
I think that's just it, right? The arena?
Whatever
rink?
The fuck you call it.
The rink.
Yeah. And the boards were really hard. You know when you see hockey, someone checks them into the boards. The boards kind of give a little,
Oh, were you, did you have
these
the
boards
concrete,
had
the
no
board?
Give. No, they were... They looked like regular hockey boards. They just had no give. And people would get fucking wrecked into those boards. They thought they would have give, but they didn't. I didn't play hockey. I was bad.
Did you know that she did?
You played hockey?
Mm-hmm. Ice
what
hockey.
Position?
Right wing center.
Nice.
At Michigan.
Oh, really? You played like college level?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. It's so G. It's such a hard sport.
Yeah.
Look what it did to her, though.
Oh, is that what fucked you up? Oh, you can make jokes, huh? Okay, I see.
Well, I got to get
my
chemo in a few minutes. I just got on my way.
I just met a Hall of Fame hockey player, came through the shop, and I like had no idea who he was because I don't know anything about hockey.
Your family would know everybody, but I don't know anything.
Kari Leitonen, I think was his name. Kari Leitonen. He's a goalie.
I don't know. Go, my mom.
Very nice man.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. They made a. They did. They make you learn to skate when you were a kid. Was that like a thing in school?
My
they made
brother
you do?
Was a really good hockey player when I was younger. I was a swimmer, but we had an ice rink in the backyard, so I don't remember.
Oh, really? You had one of them like sweet homemade joints?
Oh yeah. Every
That's awesome.
Year they built it with a hose and.
Really? Did it last all year?
Winter there is like heavier.
Rochester, New York, so it is so frigid
so
cold. They probably do get a good 7 or 8
Did you
months
have like a home Zamboni thing? Like a like how
no,
do you lay
shovels?
Oh, it's shovels.
We went out there, skates, and a shovel.
Oh,
and
wow.
A hose.
That's how you. I'll put some hair in your chest.
Oh yeah, because you just hit it with the hose, it refreezes on top, and then you have fresh ice on top.
Oh yeah, that works. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, we don't know.
No, I never had one of those.
Know. We're not. I want to say we're not spoiled, but it's like the opposite. Like we're not like handy. we had a school with a thing.
Did you even have a hockey team there?
Oh yeah,
I would.
Oh
hope
yeah, no,
so.
our hockey
that
team,
would be really funny.
No,
if nobody
our,
even
our
used
school
it.
Had really met, boys and girls were very very competitive in hockey. Yeah, stick sports, hockey, lacrosse, field hockey. Our school was excellent. There we were terrible at football. Couldn't beat anybody in basketball.
Stick
but stick
sports are like high end like college.
Yeah.
Sports and
right.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you needed cool. Stuff you need to learn to apply to Duke. they taught you. They taught you really well.
Well,
stuff you can't use past an Ivy League's education. Who are we calling?
That was Adam Ferrara calling real quick.
Hey.
Hey, what's up? It's Jay and Matt Farah, and we're on the air, but we saw that you called, so I wanted to call you back.
What's going on, guys? How are you, Matt? Matt, thank you for doing my show.
Of course, it was fun.
I got a lot of great feedback on it. So
thank cool.
You, so much.
You should come back and come see us at our studio now that everybody has shots.
I will. Yes. I got okay. So
it's funny. I just talked to Zach about that the other day. About him.
I get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine a day before they say, wait, there's a problem.
Well, that, I got that one too, buddy. We're good.
No, yeah. Dude, that's you got that good limited edition shit.
That's that. That's that early release.
Yeah, yeah, I got the Eddie Bauer. Again.
Yes. Bro, Ford, I should fake Eddie Bauer my Mach-E. What what if I did like a green over tan fake Eddie?
That beige pinstripe. Oh my god, and the script writing, please.
Oh my god. You know, can you put that idea in Hannah's head for my birthday? That would be that'd be something it'd Hannah be a wrap, should do. Still. Yeah, of course it'd be a wrap. Oh, but if it was paint, it'd be better.
Anyway, what's up,
Adam? Man? What do you need? We're doing a thing here.
I got the answer right after I texted you, so I thank you for calling me back.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I gotta go back out on the road for a little while, but I'll be back. And let's laugh soon, guys, shall we?
Have a good trip. Call me. Let's book a show when you get back.
Love to do it, my friend. Okay. Well, and be happy, okay?
Okay.
And you and Alex in here too, okay?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right, talk to you soon. Love you, buddy.
Love, pal.
Bye-bye.
All right, Adam Ferrara.
There we go.
The man.
Such a
I'm like, would you have a comedian on your show, please? Ask and ye shall
there
receive.
There it is. I saw Byron's movie came out on Netflix too. Concrete Cowboy.
Did you watch it yet? No,
it's on my watch list. I haven't sat down. I want to watch it though.
Same here. But the weekend it came out, apparently it like did really well.
The trailer is sick. The trailer looks dope. If you haven't seen even just the trailer, watch it on Netflix.
It looks heavier than what he was describing when he was here. I was like, oh shit, this is appointment television.
He described the plot without including any elements of the A plot line. He's like, there's these homies, they're in the city, they're riding horses, it's about the subculture. But like, it's really like a story about one troubled youth and a mentor. And it's heavy.
It looks
a heavy
dark.
Story
dark.
On that.
Dark. Yeah.
And it's surrounded by the culture of horses in the city.
Shout out to Byron Bowers. We love you, buddy. Rolling yes. Rolling Coffee Bean?
Rolling Coffee Bean on Instagram. I think refers to his car and not him.
Yes, very much so. His macadamia nut colored portion.
The fucking wheels, his HREs are good. He did a good job.
He said that you helped facilitate that.
I did help facilitate, but I didn't help choose a style or anything. That's just...
I love that.
Might have put a thought in his head. Downsized vintage bronze.
It changed
the fact
car,
that he ended up with a downsized vintage bronze wheel, though, was definitely his idea. Not my idea. I'm just kidding. It really wasn't.
Sundays at Bill's. What's going on over
there?
It's not a thing.
It's not an event. I certainly have absolutely never told anybody to go there. That's the most important thing. I haven't organized anything. It's a totally organic, unorganized... Disorganized. And in fact, only exists in the first place because the city closed all the official gatherings down. And so people, you know what happens in Malibu is they keep squeezing balloons. And when you squeeze the balloon, everything flows into another balloon. And so they just keep trying to squeeze balloons.
Really good.
But they don't realize a couple things. One, that whether people are gathering based on the love of sports cars or gathering based on the love of putting their feet on a fiberglass board and going on a wave, which is what happens on Saturdays in that parking lot.
Yeah, same thing.
Even more of a shit show, I might add. It's just, it's like, it's literally like, what are we doing any of this? It's not like people are doing burnouts. One guy revs his engine.
That's one
and
guy.
And gets fucking, you know, nosed up by everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't usually do it again. There's no, like, fights. There was no, like, super spreading of COVID. You know what I mean? Like, it's people in general are incredibly well behaved. The extra police presence isn't actually policing anything.
Yeah, I agree
with you. Stupid.
I think in the very, very beginning when it got so big that there was the people who putting their cars out for sale and bringing the tables and the charcuterie and all that stuff.
Did someone bring charcuterie?
Absolutely.
Fuck out of here.
They were having Bellinis out there and the whole thing.
They were having Bellinis?
Or mimosa something. I mean, one of something, yeah. The guys with the classics out on the right to the side by sunroom there,
where you've got your they got a little picnic table going on.
Yeah, because up against sunroom there, you almost have your own private thing because you're back to the world. Nobody can see what you're doing.
Yeah, between.
Basically, funny. Go over to sunroom, look over the side there. You know?
That lady that owns that store just really doesn't like me. Or Spike.
Or any of us. Anybody, yeah. I think, from
yeah.
Bill's.
Yeah. I've never seen a single one of her customers use that area, but God forbid anybody else.
They don't
does.
Want you sitting over there. It says it everywhere, too.
I know.
Sitting for sunroom but
the,
customers.
By far
only.
The most important thing is that I've never promoted anything, ever.
There's nothing to promote.
Never, ever have seen a post from me saying go there or do anything. It's not an event. It's not a thing. People go there, it's because all the other places were closed. Like, what do you, like, literally.
Have you tried to do that lately where you drive up PCH and then, you know, all right, Trancas, they got it all barricaded
yeah,
off. And
all,
then you keep
yeah.
going, and Mulholland is barricaded off, and then Fisherman's Net, that's Neptune's yeah. Net is all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry if you have a town that is attractive to sports car owners. Like, maybe you should embrace that a little bit. It's not like people on ATVs doing donuts and hitting pedestrians. You know what I mean? It's like people parking and drinking fucking coffee. It's not a thing, but whatever.
Can we say that can we say that certain people were asked to just flat out stop?
Yeah, and if anyone wants to talk about that, they can speak to my attorney, Paul Zuckerman.
There you go.
If anyone has anything they'd like to ask me about Sundays in Malibu, they can speak to
my
attorney.
Can we just defer all correspondence about Sundays in Malibu to Paul Zuckerman and his office?
As far as Spike Ferriston and myself go, 1,000% yes.
There you go.
We have retained.
Beautiful.
And so we will not be intimidated by people abusing their power.
It escalates further.
And scare us.
Wait, keep going up.
Just saying. Paul Zuckerman, my attorney, will handle it from here on out.
Has Paul ever been on your show alone? Like just having him in?
No, I don't think so. I should, though.
Would you? Like,
sure.
He's such a good fucking guest, just him alone. Not
he's
that,
just really busy.
Yeah.
He has like a job.
Real life job.
Yeah, like a real job. Yeah. Not like a job where you make up your own hours and then just get paid a huge check to do something.
Has he come over and seen your spot?
Yes, he has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he lent me some cars for my grand opening, and so yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. No, he's been.
We're
by.
Big Zuckerman fans over
of
here.
Of course, everybody. How are you not a big Zuckerman fan? He's hilarious.
He came when we were really, really early and really green and didn't know what the fuck we were doing. But it's one of my favorite shows because he's just so real and so good and so fucking authentic.
Yeah.
Just what you see is what you get. That's that guy.
Yeah, and he's good. He's good on the radio too. There's people who. You know, it's like a Carl or like an Anthony Cumia where they come from the other world and they just happen to be able to be really good at speaking into a microphone, you know.
You got good or you were good already?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, I think you're very good now and I'm a pretty good judge of talent. So
like, I don't see the camera. You know what I mean? Like, so you could just point a camera at me and I can just talk to it or talk to someone else with a camera here. And it's like, there's people that like they change or they freeze or they whatever. And so I just didn't ever have that.
There you go. Maybe that was my question. You never had to get over it. You were already natural. A lot
I
of
guess.
People have
I mean,
to do
look,
2 years on
I
stage.
Became a photographer. Like I'm a trained professional photographer. And
you went to school for it.
I went to school for it. And the way I started taking pictures was because I hated being in pictures so much that I thought, well, if I take the picture, that will get me out of this.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so I wasn't.
Not shyness? Was that shy?
No, pure self-loathing.
Oh, my God.
Pure self-loathing. And so because my personality was not small and shy. It was just seeing myself because I was fat and I just really hated that. About myself, I had a lot. I had constant negative reinforcement about my fatness. Like I was just made fun of my whole life, and I wasn't. If you look at pictures of me, like I was not actually that fat. Like the amount of mean that people were to me compared to the amount of fat I actually was pretty disproportionate. But nevertheless, I hated myself, and so learning to be a photographer it's a horrible patch for that problem, but it's what I came up with at the time.
Kid, though. That makes so much
and
sense.
And then when I was 25, I hit, you know, rock bottom in terms of weight. I weighed 335 pounds and I lost 100 pounds. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And I got to my 95 pounds. I got to my adult low, which was 240, and I've never been there since. But having said that,
I was going to say, when you walk in today, I thought you looked good.
Oh, thanks.
Are you down a little bit?
I don't know, but the Pilates studio has been open, and I've been going for 3 weeks.
There
so
you go.
I hope so. I hope so.
Things are changing.
I feel good. So I haven't. I'm not weighing or measuring, but I feel good. So thank you. But it was when I was at that. I had the confidence of losing 100 pounds, dropping 8 inches
right.
off. That's when I was like, fucking point
if
a
I'm
camera
ever gonna do this.
At me. Get me an Affliction shirt and a fucking big pair of sunglasses. You know what I mean? Like, literally.
I know the year. I remember the style.
You know, sideburns, you know, and all of a sudden it was – it wasn't like I was rewatching myself going, yeah. But I all of a sudden – no longer had any problem being in front of a camera.
That's a huge thing to overcome, losing 100 pounds. That's a
sure.
fucking huge
I've done
thing
it.
To overcome.
I haven't done I've lost 100 pounds once and 50 pounds twice on top of that since then. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I know how to do it. Learn how to do it.
What's the secret?
Don't have an injury that keeps you from going to the gym for fucking 6 months.
Oh, I thought it was I've had diet and exercise for sure.
I've had two back surgeries and torn both patellar tendons. So I've always been in a place where I can maintain an oak, but then I have a fucking ch and it's, you know, smoking weed and eating and not working and whatever.
I knew you had back injury stuff. I didn't know you had surgeries. Where was your stuff?
L4, L5.
Oh, damn low. Compression injury or what was your?
Driving. Both. It was purely from driving.
No shit.
Yeah. And my knees was a snowboarding accident, but
wow.
Yeah. So I'm fucked up.
Yeah.
So I'm just now it's like, you know, just stay out of the hospital and all that. Pilates, dude. It's Pilates. And I also
well,
was afraid.
Get the core strength. Once you have strength in your spine, it's kind of amazing what aches and pains go away.
Yeah, yeah. And I was forever. I was super afraid to work out in public because I was so
the same thing.
Being fat and also being sweaty, like being sweaty in public, like. I had so much media reinforcement that fat and sweaty was gross. And so I didn't want to be fat and sweaty in public. So I would only work out at home. And that limited me to whatever I could do at home. And eventually when I got with Hannah, she convinced me to come and go to the gym with her and work.
Get over
and
it.
Go, and I got over it. And now I go to fucking, it's me and like 8 hot women. Including my wife, you know, but sometimes not even my wife.
Yeah.
And you know, going sweating and bending over and sticking my butt out and shit. And now that doesn't bother me anymore because it makes me feel nice.
That's
and these
awesome.
Hot women are like, they fucking love me. Nobody who looks like me goes to this place. And anyone
awesome.
Who does won't admit their injuries or weaknesses. So
right.
the fact that I look like me, go there and admit my injuries
and weaknesses.
You don't
mind being vulnerable.
And I, yeah, they're like, oh my God, he is the best. They love, they
you
love
are the best.
Me down there. It's great.
She has a lot of experience with sweating in public. Not you personally, but you professionally.
Wow, that's an intro.
No, hang on. Professionally, there was somebody you used to work with who it's a notorious problem for. And what were some of the things you used to?
I had to go get washcloths to mop him down.
Yeah, yeah.
He was big, and he just sweat all the time.
Yeah. I think
it's
I,
Craig
I,
Robinson.
I think,
He's
I,
a famous oh, sweater.
Yeah,
Everybody
yeah,
knows.
Yeah.
I think I sweat more than I should. Like
That's
I,
how he felt.
I, yeah.
He felt but that way, too. We just saw the makeup
something.
Go. But, like,
dude, Hannah and
really
I go hiking, and it's like
else.
There's people that are way fatter than me. Not sweating on this goddamn hike, like I'm, and Hannah, and Hannah's like, that means you work.
You're,
that means
that's what I say. They're probably not working as hard
yeah,
as you. That, like sweating is like a thing.
So
like
I got over that too.
Good.
When we get donuts on Fridays, there's a class that just opened up, and like women go in there and do their hair before they go. It's like.
Oh, where we pick up Dunkin' Donuts
yeah.
before breakfast class.
Just
that's funny.
Oh, dude, there's women in the Pilates class, full makeup, straight up, looking like, I don't know, they're going on a date right afterwards. And some of these women are, like, so good at this really hard stuff. It's like, I can't. They're just like, and I'm like, I'm dying.
You train yourself to do that.
Yeah.
not smart.
I haven't been single in over a decade. So basically right after the iPhone came out, I think we bought the iPhone 4 together, right? Like that's how long ago it was. So I don't even know if that one had apps yet. Yep. Basically what I'm trying to get to is like, I don't even understand how people deal with the whole
online dating.
Yes, but there's so many different facets to it, like having a successful algorithm on YouTube. In order for that shit to work, they almost have to go out and bait. So like, some people will go dress up to go to Pilates so that they can then be seen, so they can be swiped.
Well, every couple of classes, you catch one of these. It's usually women. Occasionally it's a guy, but usually it's women. And they ask to be on one of the end machines. And the end machines are next to the mirror walls. And so you can really covertly get photos of yourself doing this from one of the end machines without really a lot of other people seeing what you're doing or being in the photo.
So if you want to be like an Instagram,
yes.
Say that, oh, look, I'm doing Pilates.
Yeah.
You just go from the side and you set up your little...
Basically. You can. I'm not advocating for this. I'm just reporting what
I've
seen.
Totally.
I went one of the first times...
I can't see that in yoga, man. They would not allow that in yoga.
Bro, one of the first times when I still had my I don't like gyms thing, and when Hannah first got me, Hannah's my wife, when she first got me into seeing a trainer, and okay, we're going to go to a gym. And where does he take me? Gold's in Venice.
Oh, my God.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, Gold's in Venice is literally like the Schwarzenegger gym.
It's like the most famous
gym
of all time.
The most famous meathead gym in history.
Yeah.
So I get to Gold's gym, and the parking lot is an absolute orgy of testosterone. I mean, it's fucking big shoppers. It's huge motorcycles, G-Wagons, Challengers.
Lifted trucks, that sort of
bro
thing.
Bro, I mean, it's the most meat-heady place I've ever been. We go inside, and Billy D. Williams is on the treadmill.
The real guy.
Yeah, the actual Billy D. Williams. He's
like
on the treadmill.
The guy from
the actor,
Star Wars.
Yes. The little person who plays all the Oompa Loompas and the Johnny Depp,
oh my God,
Willy Wonka, is like doing bench presses over there, and there's a straight up Mr. Olympia, who's really stood out, obviously because he was enormous, but what really stood out was that he was using a hockey bag as a regular gym bag.
What? Oh my God!
Which was because
he's just so enormous.
It was the hugest gym bag I've ever seen.
God. It's like a duffel for him. Oh my God!
And there's
his carry on.
The reason I bring this up is because not only did I feel deeply uncomfortable the entire time I was there. Now I would kill to go back in that place. I don't work out with that train anymore, and I'm not going to pay, but I would love to go back in and just see who I see. But there's signs everywhere that said no Instagram all over the place in Gold's Gym.
Well, because there's so many celebrities too, especially in...
As celebrities and just vain people.
Vanity. Yeah, that's right. Didn't they get rid of the red light cameras because of that same thing? Like it was an invasion of privacy or whatever? That was
the
how
what?
That... Red light cameras in L.A.? Remember there used to be a bunch of red light cameras?
Oh, yeah.
And they're still there, but they don't use them anymore, theoretically?
So, yeah, well, they're...
Wasn't there a whole, like,
a
violation?
Red light ticket is not enforceable, meaning they can't add points to your license, and they can't put you in collections. So they'll send you a couple scary-sounding letters.
Oh, so they're still using them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you'll still get a ticket in the mail, but it's completely unenforceable, and you just should not pay it.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's not connected to any driver's license, and they will not put you in collections.
That's crazy.
They'll send
it's
you
like
a couple
buys
letters.
Somebody your debt.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, they're stupid. They're really stupid.
Well, in my mind, I thought that they outlawed them in L.A. anyway because
of it's totally illegal to have a automated red light or stop sign camera. The way they get around this is by having a human review for accuracy. They are then somehow permitted to say that it's not automated.
It's not robot straight to consumer
verified.
Or whatever.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Geez.
So, but
I mean, I'm sure that works.
It works in some places. There's a camera in Temescal Canyon Park. And there's one in Will Rogers Park that's a stop sign camera that is 100% enforceable and a very real ticket. But a bunch of the red light ones that are done by the third party cameras are not enforceable.
Does that have something to do with the land of where it is?
So like it's not a property. Park. It's a park. That's why. The park people, I got one of those tickets and tried to be a smartass and fight it.
Ah. And so you're speaking from experience.
Oh, huh? Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I had to go to court in the park.
No.
The hearing was in the park.
Shut.
Yeah. What, by Ranger Rick? Like what?
Yes. By Rangers. Yes. It was a hearing in the park.
Wow.
And I tried to argue that, like, you know, they couldn't prove who was driving, and they basically were like, we don't have to. It goes with the car.
Oh my God.
You know, they knocked something off the fine for showing up. I think it was 100 and they knocked down a 50 because I showed up. But they anything that I thought was going to be some kind of smart argument, they were like, ugh, it's the fourth time today we've heard that. you Googled how to beat this ticket too,
yeah,
huh?
Right. All right.
Here's $50 back. Have a nice day, kid.
Wow. We have done the time. We've done the time. There's a Good Vibes shirt for you there.
I like this. You know how I know it's a good shirt? Because it comes in this matte finish bag. That feels good. This is a good shirt. Thank you.
It was a lot of effort to try to find the right kind of vintage rock and roll kind of material.
I should be like annoyed that I'm the last person to have one of these, but I appreciate you giving me one at all.
I haven't seen you, and when we gave Zach one the other day, he ran out of XLs.
I know he told me. Thank you.
Okay.
He said he didn't want to insult by bringing a double XL.
That's exactly
which
right.
You don't ever want to insult someone by bringing someone something too big, and you really don't ever want to say that a size that is definitely smaller than they wear, quote, runs big. Let me explain something to you people. There is no such thing as any size that runs big. No size runs big. Doesn't happen. Maybe in fucking bowling shoes, but not in t-shirts for fat people. Sizes only run small when you're 335 pounds.
So the truth is, I wear a medium. These do run a little bit big.
Hilarious.
I guess because they're pre-shrunk or whatever. Mine didn't
get
any smaller.
We'll see how it goes. I will abuse this t-shirt.
Whatever size you need.
I'm just bummed, like because of my job, I haven't been able to come to the Good Vibes Breakfast Club in a few months, but I'm actively trying to reorganize my schedule so I can do that.
Hope to see you
soon.
Yeah,
it is fun. It's become a thing since you were there last.
Is Newcomb's ever going to open again?
So we should talk about that. Newcomb sold.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
To who?
Don't know. And we're hearing private residence.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. Now, I don't think that would be Newcomb's itself. I wouldn't imagine that you would pay that kind of money.
No, they bulldoze it and put a house there. How big is the property?
It's 18 parcels. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Oh.
It's a lot.
It's 18 parcels? Like you could build a subdivision up there?
I don't know exactly, but I do know that you can do anything you want because the zoning predates the federal government.
What did it sell for?
I heard a lot.
What's a lot?
I don't know what it sold for. I know that they were asking.
Can we look it up? Do you have real-time internet? Because you could look that shit up in like real estate sites.
Really?
Yes. If you look at like LoopNet or one of those sites.
LoopNet?
Yeah, just look up. Just Google Newcomb's Ranch sold. I mean, I don't even know if does that property even have a numerical address?
No, it doesn't. It goes by the mile marker of where it is on
That's
Highway 2.
Crazy.
It's
awesome.
Like 38.7 or whatever it is.
Got it. If it was, I mean, I obviously any kind of property where you could live in the Angeles Forest would be amazing. There's that house on Big Tahunga. Who knows how the guys got it on the corner?
Yeah,
it's like that modern house. It's incredible.
I know.
I don't know how that person ended up with that house.
The whole fence.
Fucking cool, man. Every time I see that house. Any idea? Any got anything?
No.
All right, we'll find that later.
Yeah, the closest Googles are.
Any of the any real time commenters have a price on that Newcomb's Ranch sale? No, nothing.
Tedward, no! Tedward, man, you are a great guest. Not like you're ever looking... I mean, you're... I don't know what I'm trying to say. Not like you are...
I met Tedward.
You did?
He came by the shop.
Oh, okay. I was going to say,
he'd cool.
be great for your show, too.
He was driving the worst Jeep I've ever seen.
The Willys? Was it the old Willys rusted out?
What a shitbox.
It wasn't his, right?
No.
You borrowed it?
No, I borrowed it from some guy. I think he only drove it like a mile. Apparently, he drove from somewhere that was right up the corner from.
He showed me the video. It was like
it was
you
horrible.
Could see the, you could see
yeah,
the ground
horrible.
Going.
Yeah,
underneath.
One of the worst things I've ever seen. It's terrible. And I mean,
and it looked like a MASH Jeep, like that old.
Yeah, Willys. Yeah. A great Willys is a terrible shitbox. I mean, and this one is several levels down from that. Brutal. Really bad.
Porsche question. Getting out of a 991.2.
Welcome to my fucking show. Here we go.
Yep. And choosing between either 992, cab for daily, 991. What do you think?
What? Choosing between a new cab or an old GT3.
Okay. Two different, completely different cars. That's a weird God,
people
one.
People are so fucking exhausting. This is so binary. You don't need to ask this. Do you want a convertible? Yes. No. Check a box. One of these cars is a convertible. The other one isn't. I mean, this is literally the most fucking binary thing. It's people are so exhausting that they feel you somehow know them, a stranger, well enough to solve a question that they can't binary checkbox solve on their fucking own.
The other people are going to go with the 992. Not what I was asking.
What is he asking? What is it saying? Getting out of one and choosing between C2S cab and GT3 touring for weekends or Turbo S for both. I don't know. Can you have two cars? You got right, space, you know, yeah. Can you have like two cars that are like kind of the same, but like not, and one's a convertible and one isn't. I mean, or, you know, I don't know. These are, I don't know.
I would say you should consult the car guru or the car matchmaker. Is Spike ever going to bring that back? I enjoyed that show.
No. Oh. No one will ever pay that much to produce a cable show ever again.
Oh, I know. I know. Those days are gone. Real TV is the same way. Not even just cable. I mean, like network. There's nothing anywhere.
They accurately assume that you'd like to be famous more than you'd like to be rich. That's an incorrect assumption when you're talking about me. That's interesting.
Well, you're a businessman who happens to be famous.
If I was rich enough, you'd never see me again. Fucking gone.
That's the move.
I'm out of here.
That's the move.
Yeah. I like work, but not as much as not working. person who wants, who's trying to figure out whether to buy two cars or one car. I mean, two cars. We're talking about two cars versus one car. Like, having two cars is so much more annoying than having one car if you don't really want two cars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a
hassle.
If
you're gonna have and if you were gonna have two cars, would you want them to be variants on the same car?
Right. No, because I'd get a 911 and a Jeep Grand Cherokee, like we were talking about.
You'd
want
to spread your
or Land Rover something.
Spread your automotive.
At least a Macan, not two 911s. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, people who get, you got two cars and they're the same.
He says, thanks for the great feedback. Yeah. Try the Everyday Driver podcast. What's that? Okay. All right. Thanks. He's like, go get that. Go get your question answered there.
I don't know. I like reviewing cars. I don't like helping people on an individual level decide what car to buy because I don't know them.
I'm good on an individual level if you do know the person. It's a conversation, but public advice like that is
tough. Sure. If someone says to me, Matt, I want a fast wagon, and I'm not sure which one to buy. I'll go, okay, well, I've driven the E63. That's probably the lightest on its feet. The RS6 is like the most kind of
stout and heavy.
Stout and heavy, you know, and what else is out there right now? I don't know if there's another wagon.
Did you say the AMG? Yeah, you started with the AMG.
But
there's no Beamer wagon, right?
There's no Beamer wagon, but there's
when are they gonna
probably
do that?
A something.
Beamer makes every car known to man.
Volvo,
for
Polestar,
anybody and
but no wagons. But I'll help, you know, within a class. Matt, I'd like a mid-engined car, but it's like, oh, I want, you know, you're deciding.
Okay. There's no pressure. It's okay. Well,
it's like saying, I want, Matt, should I get pizza or Chinese food or a hamburger? You know, I don't know.
I don't know how hungry you are.
What you want to say is, Matt, I'm coming to LA. Who's got the best hamburger? Now I can tell you.
Yeah.
But should I get Chinese food or pizza or hamburger? I don't know.
Yeah, what kind of driver are you
going to do? I have no idea. I don't even get there.
Well, some people are buying shit for some people are asking for investment purposes,
well,
and some people are asking for driving.
You want to buy a car for an investment purpose, buy a stick shift Ferrari and end it there.
Because no matter what, it'll go up. Yeah.
Trust me, I've driven all the new ones. They're not getting any more like those.
Oh, well, that's true.
They're only moving further away from what those cars are.
A 355 challenge came up the other day. I know. But imagine driving around the crest.
You got to be a glutton for punishment, but that'd be very good.
I know. I mean,
the services are a nightmare.
Couldn't imagine.
But
I was educated by you that the 355 was like the worst to maintain. Like
it is.
It was my favorite because, of course, The Rock. Gentlemen, welcome to The Rock.
Of course.
That's
just fucked up your Ferrari.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
I'm only borrowing your Humvee.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. No, 355 is the best, but to drive, not to maintain. You know, it's just they're very expensive. But you know, that's if you want to invest in a car, I mean, that's Lamborghini just announced that by 2025 or 2024, everything they sell is going to be a hybrid.
Nuts.
So stick shift Lambos is where you want to be right now.
It's pretty cool.
Cannot recommend that highly enough.
Really, get a stick bull.
Yeah. You make it sound a little less erotic than you just did, but yeah.
Oh, really? See, in my mind, I guess that was in my brain. I was putting things in drawers. I was like, the stick bull. All right. Mental note. Got
exactly.
it. That's how I log it. All right, man. We've done the time. Thank you so much. You have been a huge supporter of us from the beginning. Thank you for being
a
guest.
Thanks for building the studio.
Thanks for everything. Thanks for the job.
This studio, I was like, this person can build my studio for sure.
That was a fun time. It was really fun getting to know you and Zach, because I think I told Zach when he was here, but it, like, I came home and told her, I was like, I like those guys more than I thought I would. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be a job, and I was like, I like them. Like, they're really cool and fun. And
they're nice.
I'm not really good at making friends, so it was pretty fun.
That's funny. Have you figured out a more efficient way to get coffee up to the top of the hill? Or is it still just one jug of Dunkin' Donuts?
It's me and a jug. I mean, we can do whatever we want, but at $50 a week, it's expensive.
There's got to be a more efficient way to do that.
like grow our own beans up there and then...
No, but what if we just, made coffee up there?
Oh, that's a hell of an idea. Like, bring
like,
an urn.
Why don't we bring a coffee pot and an inverter and a couple gallons of water... That's, and, make coffee.
Especially because there's always, some sort of Outlander car, truck, SUV thing there.
We thought about... Zach and I thought about that when we were overlanding. We were like, why don't they just make the coffee up there?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Let's do that.
It seems easier.
I mean, we still have to go get the donuts.
Well, fine. But just saying, that's easier to do, than getting hot coffee.
I guess. I'm open to anything. I think it sort of depends on where we end up.
I'm going to bring a coffee pot next time I come up there and make my own coffee.
That would be badass.
Yeah, do it. It'd be fun. Or AeroPress and a kettle.
Did you keep that van? We heard everything you didn't mention on the podcast with Hannah.
The overlanding van?
Yeah, we got from Hannah the other day on Sunday. And then the whole thing about how, when you were done or whatever, the guy was like, oh, yeah.
In the middle of my loan, my contact quit the company, which is hilarious.
So Hannah turns to him and is like, so do we own this van now?
There's legitimately no paperwork. There was no... The next person could have called me, and I'd be like, who are you?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen a van.
I didn't want it, so I gave it back.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Everybody, please listen to, watch, check out The Smoking Tire and The Smoking Tire Podcast and The Smoking Tire Clip Channel. Is it the podcast clip channel?
Yeah, TST. Is it TST Clips?
Clips, yeah.
Yeah, TST Clips.
All of those things, plus you're everywhere else as well. You got The Haggerty Show.
Yeah,
shows,
modified
shows.
Tuesdays on Haggerty. I think I might only have two or three episodes left for this season because it was 10 episodes. But then we're going to do another season, which is good.
Congrats
on
that.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then
it's
what fun. About Sorted? Are you guys doing more of those or is that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
I have nothing to share about Sorted.
Fair enough.
But
you do have tons of other things in the works, and we should just tune on our internet if we want to see.
We rearranged a few things at the shop, and I have 4 spaces left to sell.
Whoa.
So if someone out there wants
it. You've been sold out. Well, no, he's been
we
sold
were
out.
We were sold out.
Sold out
for the last, month. But we had one person is moving out, and I was able to juggle a couple things, and I now have 4 spaces left. So.
Sweet.
So if anyone out there needs space, now is the time. It'll never be any cheaper than it is right now.
Go to WCCS.com and reach out, contact, however, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matt Farah.
Thanks, Jay and Cole.
Everybody else, let's see. Today is Tuesday, right? That's right. So Thursday, we'll be back with Manuel Carrillo from The Motor Trend. He's got the new show. He just did your show as well. Mm-hmm.
It was good. It was fun.
Yeah. What's the name of his show?
Oh, my God. I'm blanking.
It's, I know. DeLorean and the controversy. And
Jesus. Oh, you really put me on the fucking spot
I couldn't
here.
Remember. I did it because I couldn't remember. Sorry.
It's basically Dirty Money, but focused on cars. It's oh, fuck me.
I know DeLorean is one of the subjects, and I want to talk to you about it because Catherine, of course,
DeLorean
is one of my all-time best friends.
Doing one on the Dale. There's one on the Coke Runners that won Le Mans. Like, it's a cool, a cool show. Yeah, it's a cool show. I'm just, it's on Motor Trend, and I'm literally blanking.
No, it's not your responsibility. I was just trying to plug
sorry,
it.
Sorry, Manuel.
We're going to find out all about it on Thursday, right, and cool. That's what we're doing. So, Mrs. Ryan, I love you. Matt Farah, we love you. We love everybody at home. Please love one another. We'll see you next time.